Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Bob has told Betty some alarming facts about their newspaper, The Trumpet. In spite of all their work, in spite of all the support they have managed to gather around them, the newspaper has been losing money steadily. Neither Betty nor Bob want to go in for an economy wave and cut down their loyal staff. But their own resources are limited, and according to Bob, in another 6 months, they will be bankrupt and The Trumpet will be forced to close down. Well, late this afternoon, after a hard, worrisome day, we find Bob alone in his office.
Yes? Evelyn Lewis? I'll ask her what she wants. Personal, huh? All right. Tell her I've only got a couple of minutes to spare. Hello, Evelyn.
Oh, hello, Bob. You're very busy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Not too pleased to see me.
Well, no, I was thinking about something else.
It must have been a very unhappy thought.
Maybe. What can I do for you?
May I sit down?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
I'll try to be very brief. You'd appreciate that, wouldn't you?
If you're brief.
Well, it amounts to this. I'm simply crazy about this town.
Oh, well, a great many people are. That's why they live here.
I know, but it's altogether different with me. So far, I've gone through life feeling that I didn't have any roots, that no place was really my home.
Uh-huh.
That no town or village or city was in sympathy with me.
Uh-huh.
And here's a town that I've only been in for such a short while, and I feel and know that it's my home.
Well, that's quite a boost for Monroe.
I'd like to live here, too.
You would?
If I could.
Why the if?
Well, you know, in order to live, you have to have money.
Yeah. There's something in that. Oh,
please don't think I've come to ask for a loan.
No. Matter of fact, I was under the impression that you were rather well off.
Well, I'm not really. And in order to stay here in a town which I feel is my home, I'd have to get a job.
Oh, a job?
Oh, I wouldn't care what it was. I'd do anything at all. Mind you, I'm not suggesting that you give me a job, Bob. But I'm sure you know a lot of people.
I do, yes.
And perhaps if you could give me a few introductions.
Well, I'll do everything I can.
You haven't very much faith in me, have you?
Did I say that?
Oh, you think I'm a silly, ridiculous little girl.
No, Evelyn, I just think you're a little misdirected, confused, that's all.
Wouldn't you like to help me out of my confusion?
Oh, yes. Tell me, is there any particular kind of work you prefer? Do you know shorthand?
No.
Oh. Are you good typist?
Oh, I can't type at all. I sound hopeless, don't I?
Well, no. You have a very pleasant manner. Maybe you can get a job selling over at Robinson's department store, huh?
That would be nice.
Or maybe you can get a job as a receptionist with some firm.
Well, that sounds even better.
Maybe I'd be of more help if you told me what you can do best.
Well, I write well.
Oh, you mean you've got good handwriting?
No. I mean, when I was in school, I used to write very good stories. My teachers always thought they were a little unbelievable, but very entertaining.
Well, Evelyn, my usual suggestion to a budding writer is to get a job on a newspaper.
Yes?
But I, for one, haven't got any jobs available right now.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
I could drop a note to the editor of the Monroe Times, and maybe you could interest him.
That would be lovely.
So, supposing I do that, and I'll send you a copy of the letter, huh?
All right, Bob, and thank you so much. I know you haven't got any more time at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello, Evelyn.
How are you, Betty?
Well, I'm not interrupting anything.
No, Evelyn just came in for some advice, and I just finished giving it to her.
He's been so kind.
I'm sure.
Well, goodbye, Bob.
Goodbye.
I'll call you sometime this week, Betty. Maybe we'll go shopping together.
Yes, please do.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. What did she want?
A job.
I suppose you gave her one.
Sure. Add to all our other troubles.
What did she really want?
I told you, a job. She's fallen in love with this wonderful city, and she wants to earn a living and stay here.
She didn't by any chance suggest that you give her a job.
Oh, yes, she did.
Well, what did you do about it?
I made her night editor. What'd I do about it? You don't think I'd have had that harebrain around this place, do you?
Oh, come on, darling. Put yourself out of that black mood. The trumpet isn't going to go under, no matter how tough it seems at the moment.
You seem to forget, darling, that according to present figures, the trumpet has got less than 6 months to live.
Oh, but doctors have been wrong before. And don't forget things like newspapers and buildings and ideas. They usually last longer than people. Do you know what I've been thinking, Bob?
No, but I hope your thoughts were a little more cheerful than mine.
I was thinking that we ought to go shopping for a partner.
A partner?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd want to sink good money into a proposition like this?
But don't be so pessimistic, darling. We're not the only idealistic people in America. And I'm sure there are some men with money, lots of money, who'd sympathize with our cause, with the fight we're making, who'd want to give us their support.
You know, Betty, there's a lot of difference between moral support and financial support.
Well, anyway, I think we can find such a partner. Or a partner.
Well, it was a pretty tired and discouraged Bob who left his office tonight with Betty. He doesn't want to give up the trumpet. He hates to look forward to the time when his fighting newspaper may have to lower its banners. But yet he's confronted by a set of gloomy facts. The trumpet hasn't got enough circulation. The trumpet hasn't got enough advertising. It's a good, honest newspaper, but it's losing money instead of making it. This evening, we find Betty and Bob after they have confided their problem to their old friend, Senator Sam Carter.
Well? Sam, do you think this is another instance where the forces of good are going to come a cropper?
Well, that's largely a matter of your attitude, Bob.
Oh, my attitude is fine. I hate Martin Anderson. I hate Walter Humboldt. I hate crookedness and dishonesty. I like to see the people get a square deal. But carrying the fight on just for another 6 months and then folding up, what good is that?
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to take Betty's side in this. I don't know why you seem to be so sure that you won't find a partner for the trumpet.
A partner? He'd have to be insane, Sam.
Oh, he might feel about things just the way we do. Would you say we were insane?
Well, maybe we might find a partner. But who is he and where is he?
Well?
Who left his office tonight with Betty? He doesn't want it.
I hate Walter Humboldt. I hate Crawley.
Oh, there'd have to be an understanding in the beginning.
Hmm. Men forget about understandings when they start losing their money. Oh, that'd be a fine laugh. After all the money and effort we put into the trumpet, if we suddenly turn out to be a la-di-da newspaper that played ball with Martin Anderson, winked at corruption, smiled at injustice. Listen, those things have happened before, and I won't have them happen to me. No, sir.
Well, as Betty said, you'll just have to be very careful about your selection.
Look, Sam, it'll be hard enough to find one such man without thinking of selecting.
Well, Bob, if you're so sure that the trumpet is doomed, why don't you pull out?
What?
You said you've got $200,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
Man can live and take care of his family pretty well on that.
Yeah, he can.
And if you're so sure that 6 months from now you're not going to have a nickel of that left...
I am sure.
And why not do the sensible thing?
And call it quits now?
Yes, why don't you?
Because I couldn't. Because there are too many people who believe in us and what we're trying to do. Because there are 100 people who depend on our newspaper for a living. Because there's a whole city full of people who look up to us for leadership and enlightenment. Oh, Sam, I may be a fool about this, but I'm not going to give up. There may be a way out that we haven't thought of yet. I only know one thing. I'm not taking the easy way out for myself.
What good will Bob's stubbornness and determination do him in the face of the trumpet's tremendous losses? Is it really possible for Betty and Bob to find a partner who would work with them and stand up against all the troubles that the newspaper business seems to bring with it? Will the inability of the trumpet to pay its own way bring the ruin of Betty and Bob, the ruin that nothing Martin Anderson has done so far has been able to achieve? This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.